Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called White Planetary Wind, and it is the 10th day of the Red Skywalker wave spell. And it is also the 8th day of the Galactic Moon. We're starting our second week of the Galactic Moon. Sunday is always the first day of the week, and you know, I never talk about it anymore, but each weekday in the 13 moon calendar, i.e. our 28 day month calendar for the year, each day has an orientation to a chakra. So we always start on Sunday at our crown chakra. It always begins at our crown, and then we drop down to our root chakra the second day, because it's a chakra spiral, so it's not linear, it moves in a circle. And so it's from crown chakra down to root, and then on Tuesday would be the third eye chakra, on Wednesday would be the sacral, and on Thursday would be the throat, and then on Friday, we are in our solar plexus, and then Saturday, the last day of the week, in our heart. So, our heart chakra. So, we spiral from crown to root, back up to third eye, then down to sacrum, then up to throat, then down to solar plexus, and then we come to the center of ourselves and our heart chakra. And that's something you throw in your practice, is finding out what day of the week, what chakra is oriented to that day. Like, the obvious ones are when you have like sex drive, and then you're like, oh, it's Wednesday, sacral chakra day, or you're having issues with communication, and you can be like, oh, it's my throat chakra day. So that's something you can add. I'm giving you some filler because of a few reasons. One is that I feel very distant from you all, because I want to be present and be the voice pushing us through astrological change. And then I just spent a lot of my time not thinking about astrology these days. And I've moved from a very, I would say, spiritual place, Santa Barbara, California, to something more intellectual, Marin County, California. I've moved 400 miles north and lost along the way a certain amount of easy access to open spiritual impulse. I'm grateful that I had all my 13 years in that region, because it really taught me how to be expansive, open, interested, and committed to spirituality, whatever that is. What does that mean? I just mean like just genuinely committed to an invisible world force feeling. But here I am in my homeland, where people overthink and analyze on an energy level. It's really obvious that people are more in their heads here, and so I am. So I'm being accountable to that. I'm being open that that's happening for me, and it doesn't make me less interested or maybe less knowledgeable, but
it's a stretch, and I, as I've redundantly said, I'm doing just an intense amount of workmanship on a home, and so the end. I'm not very flowy. I'm very like detail-oriented, and so the podcast limps along. Thanks for your patience. This is not a forever thing. It's a 52-year-old lady's odyssey through expansion. I am creating a new home after thinking I had created a home that I could be in for decades. Everything was upended when I was 51 and three quarters, and I made this, I wouldn't call it impulsive move, but just really uninhibited move. Like, oh, I want to go home. This place is full of trees, lived in a desert for a long time. I am now living along the water of San Francisco Bay with access to beautiful redwood grove mountain home base where the dogs and I live in exaltation. So that doesn't have a lot to do in natural time, but it's just some of the backstory because I feel that I fail. I feel my leadership here. And so let me try to give you and myself this time this expression. Onward. The Red Skywalker wave spell has peaked now. Peaked here on the planetary day. The planetary day is always the peak. I always say the crest of the wave. It's the peak of the wave. The wave peaks in terms of altitude at this height, the planetary height. It is the moment where you can't go any higher. It's the moment where you can congratulate yourself on how high you've gone. So it's got that duality, or it's like a conundrum. You know, it's at one point it's like, wow, look how high I am. And then it's simultaneously like, oh, I can't go any higher. And that tension is kind of like the human experience. This planetary tone has to do with living on the planet. This planet, I guess any planet, but we live on this planet Earth. And here on this planet, it is a conundrum. It's a struggle. It is two truths in one. One that we summit pretty high in our human bodies with our human minds, our human will. We get pretty close to this aspiration of having higher mind and relationship to divinity. We become seekers. We seek enlightenment. We get closer. And at the same time, being in a human body as an incarnated, not invisible, simply a soul, but actually having a physical manifestation on the planet means that we can't fly. We can't fly, and we can't also create a trajectory all the way out into space. And, you know, I say this little truism a lot, that's the dynamic of the planetary tone. It's the dynamic taught to us following the wave spells of natural time. And I say it because I really believe it, that the whole foundation here is, of course, every one of us who follows these calendars is aspirational, seeking, spiritual, or we wouldn't have any idea what the Maya were doing. And in this process of grasping for meaning and knowledge and intuitive expansion, we regularly, routinely are reminded that no, we're locked down into a carnal state. We're physical, and it's painful to have this clunky weight of our bodies, or it's just tough to walk around the world, run into things that are difficult that we can't escape from into the sky. So, I mean, that's my dilemma. So that's my slant here. And so every time we go through a 13-day wave spell, 13-moon wave spell, 13-year wave spell, we have this encounter with the planetary tone where all that comes into crystallized, underscored awareness for us. Like, oh, this is the tension point. I try really hard to rise. And it doesn't just mean like to find God. I mean to be a good person or to do well. You know, not just about morals or ethics, but to like be productive. This is the day of productivity. The planetary tone is showing us that we have manifestation. We have manifested something over a wave spell, over 10 stages. We have come to a great height and have a great amassing that we've climbed up onto. And then we let it go. And we let it go. So you're probably listening on a spectral day because this is being put on the internet late planet on our white planetary wind day, Sunday. And the spectral day is almost like the inverse of everything I just described. There is only falling down. There's no rising. It's not like a, you know, it's a very direct descent. It's immediate. And there is only letting go. You know, there's nothing we can amass in the spectral tone. In the spectral tone, we need to be excellent at giving things away, releasing our hold. It's an act or a passage of liberation. Our action is to sort of endure the upheaval of losing our footing and falling, and to also position ourselves in our approach to this day. This energy is like, okay, at what point do I realize I'm flying? And I said that humans can't fly, but they can fly when they're descending, you know? You just can't fly upward. We can be lifted up, but we can, you know, drop through the air on our way down. And none of this is literal, so I hope you can enjoy that falling and flying through the air in a spectral day or a spectral moon or a spectral year isn't dangerous to you. It's only ego-shattering. It is the example or the most specialized moment in these calendars in this path where you can identify like, oh, I am not in charge of this. I don't know where I'm going to land. I don't know how long I'll feel I'm falling. I mean, it's a certain distance that I'm falling, but I don't know how that experience will feel, whether it feels endless, whether it feels like, you know, a very quick return back to Earth. But the spectral day is one of the core recognizable teachings of, you know, the Mayan lineage is just that we can't ever get to this place where everything is ours. It's mine. I got it here on this mountain. This mountain is mine. This mountain of things that I've climbed is mine. It's mine. It's static. I keep it. Don't enter. Don't take any away. Never, ever can we live that way if we're following these wave spells. We can live that way for the moment that's planetary, and then we can feel it dissolving under us the next stage spectral. So, once again, the lesson here in a wave spell is that you spend 10 stages getting to this peak experience where you're closest to the sun and you could almost enter space and be gone. You could almost do it, except gravity and all these other physics lessons, philosophical realities bring us back to the planet, and that keeps us from being conquistadors or being certain that we should have ownership of a lot and hold on to things. It's teaching of the experience of gaining accomplishment and then releasing. And the idea is that if you did accomplish a lot in a wave spell, you felt you produced a lot, you know, look at everything I did. In the spectral tone, we're taught to, forced by chaos to let go of what we think we've accomplished or what we have accomplished, knowing that it'll be redistributed to go exactly where it's needed. And everyone else is in the same situation. So someone else's great accomplishment that they want to hold on to is going to be redistributed, and you might get some of that. I'm always just talking about the wave, and things that spill and break, and what we can learn from that. That art, you know, one of the things I love in life is making collage and mosaic art, and both of those things for me are about reassembling what's been abandoned or fragmented or broken. And I think that's a really beautiful picture of what happens in the spectral and crystal tones as we move out of, like, look, this is this whole thing. There's nothing fragmented about this planetary moment. But then there is an undoing, and things can break in the spectral, but they're resolved in the crystal. And finally in cosmic, we feel the vibration of warmth and peace or excitement, connection to the cosmos, because we've made it through something being built up, broken, and being, you know, healed in the crystal moment by, you know, just each of us taking all the fragments of the things we found from all the foment of breaking waves in other people's life experiences around us, and we get all this residual or cast off pieces from others' puzzles or projects, and we make our art. We make our art from the fragments that find their way to us. All right, well, that was a long Red Skywalker-esque description of the next couple of days of your life. Red Skywalker has a time of being high and grappling with addiction. Maybe. I didn't grapple. I talked about that last podcast. Like, maybe you didn't grapple. Maybe you were just high without a lot of judgment about it. Or maybe it got to be too much, and then you started to learn for the, you know, a renewed learning of, like, okay, I don't really know what I'm doing when I'm too far out there. So I do find it too much, too high. Maybe you didn't have an experience like that at all, but I'm just offering that Red Skywalker is the exploration of space, spacing out, tripping, being way out there. All those descriptors, if you know Red Skywalker people, they're pretty out there. they're pretty out there. They're prophetic. So in this time that's complete, mostly, you can check and see how spaced out you were, how awake you might have been. Was your sleep disturbed? This wakefulness is one of the words for Red Skywalker. The prophecy, the prophets, talked about that last podcast. I'm not sure how to revisit it, but did you receive a personal prophecy? Do you have a sense of things? I don't know that you would yet, but, you know, there is perhaps some part of your life where you can see, oh, I was shown that this is going to happen. And I actually have an example of that in my own life. Okay, in the Red Skywalker wave spell, something, you know, is brewing for me that will come true in the future. I mean, that's true of everything that we experience, but a lot of things that we would like to happen in the future don't come to pass. So I had in the Red Skywalker wave spell something that I would very much like to have in the future become more real. So I guess it felt like a prophecy had been told to me, and I was at the same time experiencing, you know, the end result, the actualization of something that was prophesied. Does that help you with the Red Skywalker wave spell? I'm trying to be of service by exploring for you, with you, giving you this impulse to be like, what happened in the Red Skywalker wave spell? I mean, it's still happening, but what happened? Did you just space out? Did you have to deal with the way you narcotize, i.e. cut yourself off from your body so you don't have to feel uncomfortable emotions or physical feelings, and you get lifted up into the highest echelon of your being, which is actually out of body and adrift and disassociated? Did you experience that for the last 10, 11 days? What's next is White World Bridger. And I won't say a lot about it because I can speak to it when the podcast pushes it out in a few days. We still have a few days. But there is just this streaming experience that starts in Red Skywalker. To me, it starts in a place of kind of like kind neutrality. Red Skywalker it's not very harsh. I mean, you might have had a bad trip or a bad aspect of tripping. Like, think about ayahuasca, which is not Mayan, it's Peruvian, but I'm not really, not an expert on like how they use toad. That's like one of the Mayan pieces of accessing, you know, the other world, the beyond world, by being in a plant spirit medicine high. Medicinal high is something to do with like the body of a toad. That's really cool because it sounds like a witch, you know, a witch in a fairy tale uses toads and newts and things. But anyway, so I don't know anything about that. But I, you know, lots of people do ayahuasca. So I know that people throw up when they drink ayahuasca. And I think that the last 10 days, the Red Skywalker moment, had that in it as well. It had the revelation, it had the disassociation, but it had that acrid moment that can occur in a high when it is a bad trip, or you've over imbibed, or you're just in a lot of pain, psychic or physical, because the prophecy is too intense for your body to bear. So that could have happened a bit in the time that we just went through. And I think that Red Skywalker as this wave spell that then is followed by White World Bridger, which is followed by Blue Storm, which is followed by Yellow Human, which is followed by Red Serpent, which is followed by White Mirror. All of those wave spells in a row. This is the work of our Zolk'in. This is where you know, it's rough enough that we get, you know, ground down and refined. But working through these wave spells that have lots of intense challenge built in, just because, you know, the Red Skywalker wave spell is teaching us about being high, and then maybe the addiction where we want to be high so routinely that we get lost from the health and sanctity of being in a body or embodied. That is what invites the next wave spell so easily, White World Bridger, which is about crossing from life to death, and the spirits that live on the other side can come back on the World Bridge and be in our lives. So White World Bridger is the exploration of death, not maybe our death, hopefully not any actual death, but instead metaphoric deaths and endings, and also access to the afterlife. So humanity struggles, Western civilization struggles, post-colonial civilization struggles with mortality. It's like a punishment to die. And again, the Maya set up a human sacrifice ritual because it was a blessing to die. Dying meant joining the divinities in the heavenly realm. So we can explore our own relationship to the concept of death and endings in the White World Bridger time, but it pushes us past certain comfort levels that are created by us being modern and Western. Then Blue Storm is just, you know, the force of nature, the storm. It's the psychic version of Hurricane Katrina. It's the wave spell that represents the year, so it's a doubling of energy for 13 days. after that is yellow human, which seems like, oh, that's home base for me. I am a human. That can be good. But, you know, we get very constricted as yellow human when we can also be red moon. I'm water. I'm flowing water. Yellow sun. I am, you know, the origin point of all of life. I'm that powerful. Or blue monkey. I am an animal that can climb trees. So yellow human can feel very tightened down and bearing the consequence, the karma of collective humanity. It can be like kind of rough, tough love kind of lesson time. There are things that are wonderful about each of these wave spells, but I'm just suggesting that they have inherently challenge within them. And then Red Serpent has 10 portal days and is just famously plays on our instinctual mind, which is much more hair trigger in anxiety and threat, because that's how reptiles react to life. And then after that, White Mirror, which describes for 13 days the human sacrifice ritual of the ancient Maya. So you get through all that and you have grown. And that's what's coming. Red Skywalker is completing, but we're moving right into these intensifying wave spells that I just described. Mercury will be going out of retrograde this week, but I'll still be podcasting in the fray of it, which is probably another signifier of some of my limited availability here, or my sense of inadequacy, the retrograde curse. I mean, I love retrograde, but it's not great for communication. And galactic moon, I can't speak a lot to it right now. I felt like I really went off, almost like on my little caffeine high last episode, talking about the galactic tone. So you can revisit that. And I'm just going to let it lie. I'll remind you that we're starting the second week. There are 4 weeks. Obviously, a week is nice. It's the same as our Gregorian calendar. You don't have to come up with a new concept. It's a 7-day period. And we have 4 of them, each 28-day month, which is different. 28-day moon, even though we're in February, where we'll have this symbiotic, relaxed similarity between the calendars, or connection point where they have their sequencing in synchrony. And that means February has 28 days, and so do every one of our natural time months. And that's just lovely. That's kind of a holiday, like a festivity to me. But in any case, each of these 7-day weeks in our 28-day moon, the galactic moon, and all the other moons of our year are oriented to one of the 4 cardinal directions, and everything's this described in each direction in the medicine wheel. So we are entering the north today, Sunday, and we will spend our 7 days in one chakra spiral here, then we will go to the west. So we've just finished up the east, the first week in the east, all expressions of the east being red in this calendar. It's where the mind is illuminated, like when the sun rises. This red dawn starts a new day of activity and perception. You know, it's not the dream time, it's the wake. And that's how we wake up in the eastern, in the eastern sky, in the eastern part of the medicine wheel, where the sun rises. And now we're going to the north, where spirit lives, and we have a more expansive week than perhaps to come in the western week and the southern week. But it's a time of, again, exploring another way of exploring the spirit world and the afterlife, and, you know, the outer world, the place where the prophecy comes from when you go skywalking. But just this idea that we brush up and through the spirits that are there to bless us and guide us. And it's a special time. I don't usually usher in the second week because I'm always so fixated on telling you when we're in the third week in the West, which will begin next Sunday. But let me just be excited with you that we're in the second week in the North, celebrating spirit, our spirit, the great spirit, the soul that we are, the souls that live way beyond, like the giant souls of some sort of supreme beingness. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.